கைலாஷ் பரிக்ரமா பார்ட் 1 பை ரஞ்சனி ரமணன். A total of 6 sincere devotees from Georgia, North Carolina and New Jersey dedicated several months to prepare themselves physically and spiritually for a pilgrimage to holy Mount Kailash in the month of June this year. We humbly requested one of the pilgrims to write us a detailed description of the preparation and execution of this quest into the heart of the Himalayas. And in this 3-part series, she has graciously provided us with an honest and inspired account of the extreme physical challenges encountered and spiritual rewards vouchsafed on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya. My journey to Kailash started from a Ramana satsang at our home. 3 years ago, a Bhagavan devotee who attended satsangs at our home regularly shared that she had completed the Kailash Parikrama, that is, the circumambulation, 3 times on 3 different occasions. I was amazed that what seemed like an impossible dream for me could be done multiple times by this young woman. I made a silent prayer to Bhagavan that I should at least complete this pilgrimage once in this lifetime. I did some research and spoke to the travel agent used by my friend, but was unable to finalize any plans. So, when my brother Sridhar told me in early 2024 that he was planning a Kailash Parikrama pilgrimage with a few other Bhagavan devotees and that I should join, I knew this was a calling from Lord Shiva himself. Later, I would learn that the trigger for this Kailash plan was a determined pact made between 2 other members of our travel group, Sangeeta and Lavanya, to undertake the journey, and they shared this with my brother and sister-in-law. Our final group of 6 consisted of Sangeeta, her husband Swaminathan, Lavanya Hari, my sister-in-law Nimmi, Sridhar and me. The preparation is the journey. Once we set the goal, almost a year before the actual journey, it seemed to take over our psyche and started to guide our thoughts and actions in subtle ways. For me, it was a sadhana. In the months leading up to the journey, each of us had different challenges, health concerns, visa issues and demanding family situations were all overcome with the grace of Bhagavan. 6 months before the start of the trip, the itinerary was finalized and soon after, the air tickets were booked. Sridhar was in frequent touch with the travel agency and acted as the primary liaison for our group. We were to fly to Beijing, China, and from there take another flight to Lhasa, the capital of Tibet. Mount Kailash lies in western Tibet, and to reach the base of the mountain, we would travel from Lhasa by road for 3 days, driving approximately 8 hours each day. The hill, which is sacred to Hindus as the abode of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, is also considered very holy in Buddhism, Jainism, and the Bon religion. The 90-day mark before our departure sparked more earnest communication among the 6 members of our group spread out in 3 different cities. We formed a group chat and this quickly became an essential means of planning, motivating each other, sharing trivia and reading materials about the Kailash region. This was also where Lavanya's husband, Hari Murthy, the honorary member of our group, would regularly post verses of the Tamil Shaivite saint Appar Thevarams dedicated to Mount Kailash from the 6th Thirumurai. Around the same time, we started our physical training for the 3-day, 30-mile trek along rough terrain and in high altitude, where the highest point we would pass was 18,400 feet above sea level. We shared exercise goals and our progress in our group chat. Closer to the departure date, we compiled a packing list guided by Sridhar, Nimmi and Swami, who had been on a similar hike previously in the Himalayas. Lavanya, Sangeeta and I, being the novices in the group, did not know what to expect during such a venture, and this created a bond between the three of us, which was the source of great strength for me during the most challenging moments of the hike. While all these practical and physical preparations were going on, there was no doubt in my mind that divine grace was the most important factor that would ultimately decide the outcome of our efforts. From the very beginning, it was very clear to me that successful completion of this pilgrimage was not in our hands. It was only Lord Shiva, as Arunachala and Bhagavan, who could take us to the other side. I was making all the efforts, but with a conscious attitude of surrendering to His will. For me, the months leading up to the parikrama were ones of sadhana, a one-pointed focus on the goal. Daily prayer, yoga, and pranayama were important parts of my preparation. When challenges cropped up, I would remind myself to stay in the present and focus on what I could do at that moment to keep on the path. Hasn't our Bhagavan taught us that the present alone exists? In Ulladinarpada verse 15. Lhasa. We reached Lhasa on June 4th, 2025, and were welcomed by our tour company at the airport with ceremonial Tibetan white silk scarves. Lhasa is situated at an elevation of 11,800 feet above sea level, and we immediately felt the effects of the high altitude. For our group, shortness of breath and slight headaches were the only symptoms. We started taking our altitude sickness prevention medicine the previous night and continued to take it till the completion of the parikrama. The medicine, as well as spending the first 3 days in Lhasa acclimatizing to the higher elevation, contributed significantly to the success of the journey. Nimmi and Sridhar, being physicians, were able to guide us throughout the trip whenever any medical questions arose. At our hotel in Lhasa, there awaited a very special and most unexpected treat. As soon as we entered the lobby, through the large windows at the far end, we could see a mountain bearing an uncanny resemblance to Arunachala. It was as if Annamalayar was waiting for our arrival to guide us on this journey. The sight delighted us each time we saw it during our 3 day stay there, and it was a quiet reminder that Bhagwan's blessings were with us every step of the way. We met our excellent guide Tashi that evening. He was full of energy and had a great sense of humor, but what we did not know then was that he was also a sadhak, a spiritual seeker himself. A Tibetan Buddhist, he was deeply interested in spirituality and had a questioning mind. Tashi shared his extensive knowledge of Tibetan Buddhism with us during our time together and was curious to know about Advaita philosophy and our Bhagavan's teachings. It often led to deep conversations with him throughout our travels. On day one of our sightseeing in Lhasa, we got into the large van which was to be our faithful companion for the next 2 weeks. After installing a small photo of Bhagavan inside, we started the day by chanting Aksharamana Malai. One of the first things we saw upon leaving the hotel was the beautiful Yarlung River flowing through the city. Originating near Mount Kailash, this is the same river which, after being joined by several tributaries, crosses over into India as the mighty Brahmaputra. Immediately, we felt the spiritual and cultural connection between our countries and felt at home in the enchanting city of Lhasa. Lhasa is also the spiritual capital of Tibet. The holiest temple for Tibetan Buddhists, the Jokhang Temple, lies at the heart of the city. the most sacred pilgrimage destination for believers, it houses the divine statue of Buddha Sakyamuni, an image of 12-year-old Buddha, believed to have been made during the lifetime of the Buddha. Driving through the city, we saw pilgrims who were coming from all over Tibet, circumambulating the holy city itself. The Kora pathways were clearly marked, and it immediately reminded us of the Giriprodakshina path around sacred Arunachala and Arunachaleshwara temple. The simplicity and devotion of the local people were moving to see. Dressed in traditional clothing, almost everyone we saw had prayer beads in their hands, chanting their mantras quietly. We saw this throughout the city, reminding us that we were on holy ground that has been venerated for generations. Over the 3 days we spent in Lhasa, we were very fortunate to visit ancient monasteries which are still active and thriving. Some highlights were the Drepung Monastery, where the vibrations in the chanting hall were palpable. The monks had just left the hall after their prayers, and our group was blessed to be able to sit at the back and chant Bhagavan's Upadesa Saram. It was a thrilling experience we will never forget. At the Sera Monastery, we saw young mothers bringing their newborns for blessings of good health. We also witnessed the sonorous chanting of the monks of the monastery in an open courtyard shaded by large trees. Along with other visitors, we listened mesmerized by the divine intonations which reminded me of Vedic chanting. The visit to the imposing Potala Palace was bittersweet for me, knowing that His Holiness, the current Dalai Lama, cannot grace this historical institution at this time. The palace is a popular tourist destination as well as a sacred site for Tibetans. We learned about its history and spiritual significance from Tashi and admired the grandeur of the palace. At the Jokhang Temple, as mentioned earlier, the holiest temple for Tibetans, we were able to perform the Kora around the shrine. Spinning the prayer wheels along the Kora path, I chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya and Om Namah Shivaya, praying for our successful completion of the Kailash Parikrama. Sangeeta offered the song Sharanagati soulfully at the main shrine, and after that we all joined her in singing the Bhagavan Bhajan Ganga Dharahara. It was a very fulfilling and blessed visit. On the final day in Lhasa, we visited the Ganden Monastery. The Kora around the monastery, which is at an elevation of 14,000 feet, gave us a taste of what hiking at such high altitudes would be like during our Kailash Parikrama. From there, the views of the Lhasa Valley with snow-covered mountain ranges in the distance were spectacular. Towards the end of the path lay the great Tsongkhapa's meditation cave. Tsongkhapa is the founder of the monastery. This cave was very reminiscent of the Virupaksha cave on Arunachala. We were able to sit quietly in meditation for some time in this cave.